Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Eliana Johnson of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual, from the conservative perspective. And Eliana, the good news for conservatives potentially comes out of a new poll from NBC, of all places, suggesting that the American people are pretty much down on this president and certainly his performance as of recent weeks and months. So much so that Chuck Todd basically thinks that this presidency is over, which is saying a lot for him and his perspective. But just looking at some of the numbers, how do you feel the president's doing on the economy? 41% approve, 54% disapprove. Foreign policy has obviously been dominating the headlines as of late. That number is at 37% approve, 57% disapprove, although it wasn't that much better back in April. And then on some of the core competency issues, only 11% find him very competent. 31% find him not competent at all, which is 10 points higher than it was a year ago at this time. When it comes to whether President Barack Obama can lead the country and get the job done, 54% say no, 42% say yes. And when it comes to the last 12 months, do you feel the performance of the Obama administration has gotten better, stayed the same, or gotten worse? 41% say worse, only 15% say better, 43% says it stayed about the same. So, Eliana, obviously this is just one snapshot in time, but if you're a Democrat on the ballot this year and those are your president's numbers, and we should point out that he's 12 points underwater on overall approval as well, these are not the numbers you want to see, and it perhaps not only means good things for Republicans at the polls this year, but it could also mean that a lot of Democrats aren't going to be willing to stick their neck out for this president anytime soon.
The conventional wisdom is that Americans don't care about foreign policy. I think you're seeing here that foreign policy is taking a real drag on his poll numbers from the fiasco in Syria and hand-wringing over whether we're going to intervene there, to Russia and the Ukraine, to the Bergdahl swap, and now Iraq. It's been several months of foreign policy disasters that I think have produced total drag on his poll numbers and a lack of confidence in his leadership among the American people.
When you look at the reasons people think the last 12 months have been worse on his part, Obamacare is right there at the top, but it's tied with negative views on foreign policy. And then Bo Bergdahl's right below that. So it's really kind of this whole sequence of events. And Iraq's not even in the equation because that happened so recently. It's not even listed as an issue potentially for voters to consider in this poll. So 37% approval. We've looked at these polls before with Jim, and that's kind of the president's baseline. He can pretty much do anything, and he'll get about 36, 37%. So if you're a conservative running this year, if you're a Democrat running this year, how do you adjust based on the current reality for the president?
Well, I don't think Democrats are going to be changing their strategy too much. They were already running away from the president because of the debacle with the Obamacare website. And so I don't think there's going to be too much of a change. Several Democrats continue to be in weak position, incumbent Democrats, particularly in southern states. I don't think you're going to see them hugely change course, but they will stay distant from the president. I don't think you'll see him out campaigning with too many imperiled Democrats across the country.
One other thing before we move on to the bad martini today, and that's the story that broke yesterday about the capture of Khatala, the apparent ringleader of the Benghazi terrorist attack from September of 2012. It's obviously good news that he's in custody. There's a lot of questions about why he didn't get taken into custody sooner, since he was available to the media pretty much at any point over in Libya. Do you think that's going to change his numbers much at all? Or is that kind of just one story, even if it is seen as positive by the American public, against all these others?
You know, as of now, it seems to be sort of a blip on the radar screen, particularly because this wasn't an individual who was known widely to the American public, like Osama bin Laden. And because there are so many others who were involved in the attack, that there wasn't a single individual who Americans identified with it, who they can celebrate the capture of. And so I think, given the other disasters in the realm of foreign policy, this hasn't registered too much on the radar screen.
All right, let's go to the bad martini now. And our source on that is from your reporting, Eliana, yesterday at National Review Online. It's not just Lois Lerner's emails. The Internal Revenue Service says it cannot produce emails from six more employees involved in the targeting of conservative groups, according to two Republicans investigating the scandal. The IRS recently informed Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp and Subcommittee Chairman Charles Bustani that computer crashes resulted in additional lost emails, including from Nicole Flax, the chief of staff, to former IRS Commissioner Stephen Miller, who was fired in the wake of the targeting scandal. So it was hard enough for a lot of folks to believe that one critical person's emails suddenly vanished here, Eliana. Now that there's six more, what does this tell us?
You know, we had a White House spokesman, Josh Earnest, say when Republicans were up in arms after the announcement that Lois Lerner's emails had gone missing, that Republicans were indulging in conspiracy theories and conspiracy mongering. Now, with the revelation that the emails of six others involved in the targeting are lost, it seems like you'd have to be a fool not to go into the realm of thinking like a conspiracy theorist. It seems like the IRS has very few computers that don't crash. I don't know what operating system that they're running on, but you have to wonder.
Eliana, what can Congress actually do about this? Is this going to end up in court with tampering or destroying potential evidence? Or since we don't have direct evidence that they took a sledgehammer to hard drives, even though it seems like that's probably what happened here, that it's just going to be another source of frustration and not much is going to come of it?
I can't predict the future, but we have Daryl Issa, who's subpoenaed Lois Lerner's hard drive, and the Oversight Committee and the Ways and Means Committee have called the IRS Commissioner John Koskinen in to testify. I think they should also call IT personnel in to testify, but we'll certainly start early next week with the testimony of the IRS Commissioner about all this.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And Eliana, it's come up in the crazy martini a number of different times, and that is it used to be periodic, now it's pretty much a steady drumbeat, of folks from Native American activists to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to even the president, I think, at one point, saying that he doesn't think the football team in Washington, D.C. should be called the Redskins anymore because that's a pejorative, it's offensive to Native Americans, even though you look at American Indian tribes around the country and a majority of them seem to be okay with it. In fact, there have been stories that a lot of high school football teams on Indian reservations actually use Redskins as a mascot. Nonetheless, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office today officially announcing it is revoking the trademark protection on all things Redskins. So the famed profile of the Redskin that you see on a lot of their gear, probably some of the writings of Redskins on all the merchandise. So this is one more step, I guess, in the government deciding who's right and who's wrong on this. But do you think it'll do much? And what do you make of the government getting involved here?
Practically, I think it will have very little implications. The Redskins are free to go on using their logo. And as we know from the owner, Dan Snyder, he's committed to continuing to do that. So they will. Depending on how widely the news is circulated, it may have an impact on public opinion. I think that in general, the public doesn't like the government intervening in these sorts of things. Seems like something that ultimately the decision should and will be decided by the team owners. So I don't see this being too big of a deal or having too large of an impact, but marginally it does matter.
And I'm sure they're devastated by the fact that Harry Reid will not be attending any more Redskins games.
Yes.
As long as they have the name. I'm sure that's
quite a punishment, I know.
Eliana, great to have you with us today. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Greg.
Eliana Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please tune in on Thursday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.